248, we'll get a chance to sing. We'll breathe in some warm air. Maybe it'll knock the chill away that some of you are experiencing. 248, there is a name I love to hear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's stand together. We're going to sing all three verses. 248.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing, it's worth it, sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can heal my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Thank you. You may be seated. Pastor's trying to get my hopes up with the weather forecast for Saturday. The other day I looked, it was 25%. I thought, well, that's livable. You know, that's as good as you can expect in the wintertime. I looked last night, it was 85%. And I thought, well, that's more of a challenge. And he just said, just before we, but you saw me digging for my book, and he said, oh, it's better, it's better, it's 40%. And I thought, well, that's good. By the end of the song, it was back to 80%. So. If you've come from an encouraging word for Pastor tonight, this might be the bad time to get it. I don't know, but we'll see. Pray for that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Saturday we're going to be taking part in the Fort Mill Parade, and it's scheduled to start at 11 o'clock, and the float looks amazing, and I can say that because I had absolutely nothing to do with it. Grace and Carolyn and Tim and even Gwen has been out there working on it, and It looks terrific. It certainly, it will catch the eye of people. We have a few thousand goodies to be given away in bags that are piled up in my office. And so we're praying for a good crowd and a good number of workers from the church so that we can go and do that and let folks know about us. And an 85% rain forecast will dampen some of that, I'm sure. Pun absolutely intended. It took the crowd down last year when it rained, but we'll see. And so let's be prayerful about that. The Lord knows all of that. He knew it long before we did. So have that in prayer. Let's also be praying for the Ash family. Darla's funeral was this afternoon. And Pastor preached and brought a good message and hopefully was an encouragement to the family. It's always a blessing when you can preach a message knowing that it's a message of comfort, genuine comfort, that Darla suffers no more. And what she's gone through for the last couple of years is certainly behind her now, and she's in a better place. We want to continue to pray for Dick, who continues his very, very slow recovery. Glenda went to the hospital, went to the doctor, and the surgeon said everything is going well. She's recovering as they would have hoped. They were going to come to the funeral today, and Daryl actually got sick on the way over. So let's continue to pray for him as he goes through this immunotherapy treatment. Gwen Hoyle continues to recover from her surgery as well and seems to be doing well. We want to continue to pray for Paula Sprague now that she's back under chemo treatments. I saw her today and said, how are you feeling? And she said, fine. But it was fine, you know, fine. Sometimes fine isn't so fine. So we want to continue to pray for Paula. as she does another bout. We have so many families who are sick with something, some kind of cough, respiratory thing. Grant Hood now actually has COVID. Jerry said that he and Lisa, as I understand it, do not have COVID as of yet, so pray for them. It's always hard to miss school, and nobody wants to be sick, so pray for Grant and so many others who are in the middle of that kind of thing. We're continuing to pray for Hemachandra's nephew, Prince, and I haven't gotten an update in the last few days, but they've been giving him a treatment which seems to be effective, but they won't really know for some time. They're still keeping him heavily sedated, and so we want to be in prayer for him. While we continue to pray as well, speaking of Hemachandra and Satish and Samuel, for their visa situation. Tammy Munn, still no relief to the asthma that she's been dealing with, so let's continue to pray for her and for wisdom for her doctors that they'll be able to determine some sort of treatment. Pastor said we've been praying for his friend Larry Otten with skin cancer. They removed whatever was there, and they think they got all of it, so that was an encouraging sign. We need to be praying for Gary Kofte. His back is not getting any better. I think I mentioned a week or two ago the plan is to go through a fairly extensive, lengthy regimen that the doctor feels like he can help him, but so far no relief at all, and so please pray for him. We're continuing to pray for the Ellers. Arlene was here Sunday and is recovering well, it seems. She says that she thinks she may need a little tweaking of that nerve stimulator. She feels better, but she thinks it could be better still. And Rich is struggling a little bit with the physical issues that he has and the limitations that that brings. And Arlene said on the way out the door, I know we're not supposed to ask why. And I'm not sure I agree with that. There are many times in Scripture where the psalmist specifically asks the Lord why. We can't question God's goodness, but we can question what's happening and why and what should I be learning and what should the steps be. And so let's pray for them. And pray for Rich especially, that he'd be encouraged in this. Let's continue to pray for Tommy and Rita Baskin as well. Stephanie's asked us to pray for her uncle Bobby Reed, who's going to be having significant heart surgery later in the month of December. And we continue to pray for Sheila DeMarco as she recovers from her stroke. Pastor's asked us to pray for his friend Earl White, who's has some health needs, as well as Jerry Parrish, Lester Parrish's wife, who has health needs as well. What else? Who did I forget? Who did I miss? Frank?
I have a neighbor, Columbo, I didn't know that. That was 2 months ago, and I didn't know that again the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a neighbor of yours?
Yes.
Yeah. This is. Rose. All right. Frank's asking us to pray for his neighbor, Rose Palumbo, who has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and is undergoing chemo. Candace. Okay. And what's the name?
My name is Dante Brust, B-R-U-S-T.
B-R-U-S-T.
What's the age that she teaches?
She teaches Noah's class. Yeah.
And that's what grade?
K-3.
K-3, okay. I know somebody that's Christian that teach at K-3 class, you can give them the information.
Noah Millwood's teacher, Dante Brust, in the hospital with double pneumonia, was on a ventilator in an induced coma, but seems to be doing better, but will be out for the rest of the teaching year. That's Zante was the first name?
Zante,
yeah,
S-A-N-T-E.
Okay. Hansons are here. Jonathan's still doing good.
He's doing better. He's off the crutches. He's in doing rehab now.
Okay, good. Good, good. Literally, yeah, one step at a time. Jonathan Hanson continues to recover from ACL surgery. Yeah, good. Yes, ma'am. Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
She's okay.
Okay. The nursing home where Joanne Cofty's mom is experiencing a COVID outbreak up in Illinois. We were glad for the opportunity to see Betty Ann's dad last week, as well as the rest of her family. And for a 97-year-old man, he's doing okay. And it was good to see him. Last year, we were there for Thanksgiving, and he spent Thanksgiving Day in the hospital. And so this year, it was good for him to be there, and he was in good spirits and seemed to have good energy. So we were thankful for that opportunity. All right. I'm going to ask Frank Hance if he'll come and start our prayer time tonight. And then when he finishes, Brother Samuel, if you will come, and then I'll close our time.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, it is good to be in your house tonight, Lord. We're thankful for this place that we have to come and how free we are, the freedom that we enjoy as Americans to be here, and we're thankful for our country. We pray for the leadership, Lord, because you tell us in your word that we should pray for all those that are in authority, and we want to do that. And Lord, we're thankful for our pastor. I've come to know the pastor these past 15 years, and I'd just like to say, Lord, how much I admire him and how much I appreciate the way that he's led our church and all that he has dedicated his life to do. And we're thankful that he is here tonight. And Lord, we do remember the Ash family. Lord, I didn't know Darla well. I knew her, but I know that she was saved. And pray you'd watch over and care for her family, Lord. And we're thankful for the turnout that we had from the folks from our church that were there. And Lord, we just pray that you'll watch over and care for them. I think of my neighbor, Rose Palumbo. she's an older lady, has pancreatic cancer. Evidently, it's very serious. Her husband's very concerned, as he naturally would be. But evidently, the chemotherapy is very rough on her. She's having a tough time, Lord, and I just pray you'd be with her and comfort her in the way that only you can. And Lord, we have a long list of folks that are sick with COVID, and just as we get in that season of life where we seem to have more aches and pains, and the more quickly that we get sick with all, we just pray for Dick Clark, and we just pray for all the others in our church that are ailing. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bless the Master Club and all the activities that are going on here tonight with the small children down in Master Club, and all the teachers and all the folks that donate their time and their talent and come in and work with these children and these young older teenagers, Lord. I'll be just thankful for them. We're thankful for all the folks that have helped put together the Christmas float this year. Pray, Lord, you'd hold off the weather, that we would have a rain-free morning so that we could get to the parade and do the things that we need to do and be a witness and to pass out the tracts and the candy and to be a blessing to others. And we're thankful for the talent that went in. I haven't seen the float, but evidently it looks very good. And Lord, I just, your word says that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you're there as well. We trust that. And Lord, we just want you to be pleased with us tonight, and we pray that everything that we would say and do would honor and glorify you. And I think of Hemachandra and Satish and Samuel that seem to have to go through this visa thing quite regularly. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless that, expedite it, and get their visas and all the other paperwork dealing with the government and how trying that can be. Lord, just pray that you'd bless them in a way that only you can. And again, Lord, we're just thankful for our salvation and the opportunity to be here. And pray, Lord, you'd bless our service tonight, and everything that we would say and do would honor you, Lord. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Our gracious, loving, wonderful Father, we thank you, we praise you for this wonderful opportunity you've given us to gather in your courts so that we could bring forth our prayer requests at the throne of grace. Seeing that our prayers were answered in the past, with that confidence, we come back again. Lord, we are people with a lot of weaknesses. Lord, in this world, as we journey, Lord, there are so many things that are hindering our lives. Lord, both health-wise, Lord, physical, emotional, social challenges. Lord, with all these things, Lord, we are trying to go through, but the good thing what we have is our Lord, who has a great plan for us, for which we are thankful. Yes. We thank you for your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, who has came into this world. Lord, even though we never searched for you, you came searching for us so that we would have that eternal place, which privilege we have lost because of, Lord, the sin that has ruled humans. We thank you for that sacrifice on that cross, Lord, that the blood shed on the cross would be able to save every mankind and would restore back to heaven. Yes. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this great opportunity that we could listen to this gospel and accept you as our personal Savior and then surrender our lives. Father, we thank you for all the provisions that you have granted unto us for the liberty to come here and worship you and praise you, and to gather together as a church and pray for each other's needs. Oh Lord, as we bring forth these needs at the throne of grace, Lord, do honor our prayers in due course of time in your own will. Lord, please grant these petitions. Lord, so many people are going through difficult times. Lord, especially we remember those families who are going through bereavement. Lord, the Ash family, comfort them, strengthen them. The Laney family, Lord, strengthen them also, comfort them, Lord, with the blessed hope that one day we're going to see them. If there's anybody who's not saved in that family through these funeral services, Lord, they might have been touched, Father. Lord, they might have a change of their heart and accept you as their personal Savior. Father, we thank you that we have a God who is so personal, who could speak unto us, who could touch us. Lord, when we read scriptures, when we listen to messages, Lord, when we listen to these audios, Lord, in so many ways, you are going to talk to us. We thank you for this Bible that you have given us, which is a living word, Lord, which could touch us, which could even penetrate even through the bones, so that could do greater work in our lives. Lord, restore our souls to you so that we'd be satisfied in our life, Father. Lord, we commit the other people who has been put forth in the list, so many names. I cannot recall all those, so I commit those brothers and sisters into your loving hands. Lord, especially for those who are going through this tough disease, cancer, Lord, touch them. Give them extra grace and strength so that they would sustain through this medication times, and they would be encouraged by the word and by our prayers. Lord, they might be drawn close unto you. Father, give them extra help they need. Thank you for all those who are taking care of them. Lord, bless them also. Help them, give them extra grace as they minister to them. Lord, we remember Dick Clark. Lord, completely restore him to normal health. Thank you for the good thing that has started. Lord, complete that healing in him. Lord, help Sue also as she ministers. Give her extra grace and strength. Lord, we remember Parentines for their recovery. Lord, touch them and heal them. Lord, likewise, for Candace's friend, Father, she's suffering through double pneumonia. Touch her and heal her. Lord, give complete restoration if it's possible, she might get back to work also, Father. Please. And we remember Joanne's mom, who is in the nursing home. Lord, there's a COVID outbreak. Lord, protect Joanne's mom from any kind of problems. Lord, all the people in that place also may be relieved of this. Lord, at this time, we remember so many other families who are going through this respiratory problems and issues. Touch them also and heal them and restore them completely. Lord, give us extra grace and strength through these times. Lord, cold season, so there are so many other possible germs and sicknesses possible. So, Lord, protect our families. Lord, we remember all the students, Lord, that they could come and visit during Thanksgiving. They're back to colleges. Lord, protect them in their place. Lord, those who have been taught here and raised here, Lord, they might be your witness in that places. Lord, help as shine as a light to other college fellow students, and they might be able to encourage others also. Lord, help their studies, and they might be excelling in their studies and come out with flying colors. Lord, likewise, we remember those who are not saved in our families. Commit all of them into your loving hands. Lord, prick their hearts and change their minds so that they would draw close to you. Lord, we remember our missionaries at this time. We thank you for all their mission work they are able to do. Lord, keep their families in good health. Give them good health so that they would be able to do the work for which they have surrendered themselves. So much great work is needed in different parts of the world. We commit America into your loving hands. Lord, the people in the authority may have a good understanding of the scriptures. They may come back to the Bible and do the things what are right and bring glory to your name, Father. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for this church this night as Pastor is going to come and preach to us. Father, give him good recall. Lord, help us to have a refreshed and a connected mind so we'll be able to listen to the message and encourage. And Lord, Lord, make us be able to live a fruitful Christian life. Lord, we thank you for the services happening among the youth and the children. Lord, bless those services also. Lord, the children may be taught, and at a young age, they might surrender their lives to you. Father, we thank you for the church administration. Lord, give them wisdom as they take care of different things. Lord, give them guidance and lead them. Father, we thank you. We praise you. There are so many things to pray. As we continue to pray, we commit this time into your loving hand, seeking your guidance. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Father, we do thank you tonight for your constant and consistent goodness to us. And we reflect back on this last month, and we realize we have so much to be grateful for. We thank you for the good services that we've enjoyed. We're thankful for the Barretts and the Martins and the Hendricks and the ministries that they each had with us over these past few weeks. We pray your blessing on each of them. We pray for Joe as he travels, that you'd keep him safe as he goes from place to place. Use him as he's engaged in so many different ministries. We pray for those young men that he works with in different countries, that you would undertake for them and meet their needs physically, and that you'd give them fruit for their labor. We pray for the churches that they pastor and lead, that you'd make them strong and solid testimonies for the work of the ministry in those places. For the Barretts and the Martins, as they continue to share their burden, and the Barretts particularly, as they attempt to raise the rest of their support, we pray that you provide that for them in good time, and that very soon both of them can be safely back on their respective fields and doing the work that you've called them to do. We thank you, Lord, for Brother O'Malley and for the meetings that we experienced a week ago. And Father, we would pray that those truths that we heard and that were so clearly presented would sink deeply into our hearts. We're so grateful for our young people who were so involved and engaged in that. And I pray, Lord, that they too would take these truths not only seriously, but they would take them personally. And that those principles that they learned would become characteristics and hallmarks of their lives. We do pray for our homes and our families, and we're often reminded of how dark the night is around us. And while we try to teach and we try to have a standard that is different than the world's, and we try to live according to your word, it becomes more and more difficult all the time. And so I pray for our parents. I pray for our children. I pray for our young people, that you would give us that godly conviction to simply do what's right as you've revealed it to us. We're so thankful for all those in our church who minister to help with those families, for our Sunday school teachers, for our children's workers, for Jason as he teaches younger couples, for Mark as he teaches older couples. Lord, use them and use the ministry of your word in their lives. Bless now, Pastor, as he comes to speak to us tonight. We look forward to what you have for us. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Judy, I had a funeral earlier, and they met about six ladies. They all knew you, and they knew that you go to church here and sit on the front row, and people think you're my wife because her name's Parrish. And so one of them's going to call you sooner or later and say, I met your pastor. We got a little bit of time. Book of Exodus, chapter 32, start with verse 26 through 28. Exodus 32, verse 26. We'll read through verse 28. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. He said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And we're in the time period looking at this study of journeying with God to enjoy our journey with the Lord. Israel had 40 years in the wilderness because they did not obey God, did not by faith go into the land. They were afraid, and they said, we can't do this. And so God sent them around to wander for 40 years until that whole adult generation died off. And this group of people, the Lord accused them of being stiff-necked continually. While Moses was on the mountain getting the commandments from God, they created an idol and danced around it and were going to go back to Egypt, they thought. Now, God invoked capital punishment in judgment in this particular case. And these are those who would not repent. They did not do as Levi. The tribe of Levi was the tribe Moses and Aaron were from. And they separated themselves from their brethren and went unto Moses as Moses had called. All of them could have come, but they didn't. God in his grace forgives us of our sins, but God in his government allows sin to work out its terrible consequences in the lives of those who are unrepentant. Galatians 6, 7, 8 says, Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we reap as we sow, and we must know that with God. The principle of life. Moses had righteous anger when he came down off the mountain, and he threw the tablets down on the ground and broke them. These were stone tablets that he had cut out, and God had written with his own finger the commandments on both sides. And this is a very symbolic act because they had just broken several of the commandments, and so Moses threw the commandments down and broke them, and they would never be able to forget seeing that sight and hearing Moses angry with them and teaching them that God was angry with what they had done. Now, before he dealt with the people very much, he dealt with Aaron. Aaron was his brother, and Aaron was named the high priest, and leadership brings responsibility. That should say in that line, leadership brings responsibility as well as blessings. Aaron gave feeble excuses in chapter 32, verse 21 through 24.
Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me. Now get this excuse. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. There's a whole lot of people that's kind of an excuse they make for their sin. You know, I didn't do anything. I just did this, and that's why somebody else did something. That's why it happened. Well, he gave a feeble excuse, and Moses turns to the people and says, who is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. And the tribe of Levi separated themselves unto him. In Joshua 24:15, when they later go into the land and receive the divisions by the tribes, at the end of Joshua's life, the Bible said while Joshua was living, that the people kept their covenant with God even till after the ones who outlived him, who were of that generation, they still did what was right until judges came along. But in Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he told them that, you can't just say, yeah, we're going to serve the Lord. You have to know that you're taking your life in your hand when you make a vow to God to obey him and do what is right. And the people said, as they often did with Moses, we will do what the Lord has said. We will obey. In 1 Kings 18, 21, there's another illustration here. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings. 1 Kings 18:21. This is when Elijah was at Mount Carmel. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. This is where Elijah called down fire from heaven, and it ate the sacrifice up and the water around the sacrifice. And the people began to say, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And they turned to the Lord, and they slew the prophets of Baal, 450 prophets. Now, this was an opportunity for Israel when Moses said he was on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. This was a chance for them to repent. It's just like when God called for Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned and they went and hid themselves, God said, Adam, where art thou? And they were hiding. That was their opportunity to come forth and say, God, we sinned. We disobeyed you. We did wrong. But instead, they tried to hide and they tried to sow fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And God had to deal with them, and he punished the innocent animal by killing it for sacrifice and for the hides so that they could be clothed. Sin affects more than just us. When we sin, it affects other people. God knew all along where Adam was. You can't hide anything from God, but he was giving him an opportunity to repent. Moses was giving them an opportunity to repent, but yet only the tribe of Levi did so. So they were to ignore the relationships with their people and with the tribes. All of these are brothers and sisters of these tribes of people, the 12 tribes of Israel. And they were to ignore these relationships and go in among them and kill them for their sin. God pronounced capital punishment. Now in Matthew chapter 10, and I won't read that passage, I'll read Luke chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. Can you tell I didn't put paper clips in my mark in my spots? Chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's similar teaching about discipleship in Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 39, where Jesus told the people that once they put their hand to the plow, they can't look back or they're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. And it required something to be a disciple. They had to make a determination to serve the Lord, to commit themselves, to promise, to make a covenant with God. Now, these Levites were courageous to kill 3,000 of their brethren. Paul uses this in 1 Corinthians 10. If you want to turn there with me, we've looked at that passage a couple times for different reasons about the illustration of the wilderness and going through the Red Sea. Let's just read, I got chapter 10, 1 through 12, but let's just read verse 5 through 11. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. That verse 10 shows they were Baptists in the wilderness. They murmured. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. It basically means the same thing as an example. It means an identical thing. They're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So these are teachings that are used in the New Testament to warn us about what happened in the Old Testament, that God can still be angry with us and even to the point of capital punishment. Moses destroyed the golden calf. He burned it. He ground it into powder. He put it in a stream and then forced them to drink of the water. In Deuteronomy 9:21, Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law, repeating. Chapter 9:21 says, and I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was small as dust. And I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. Now they got a taste of their sin that maybe they wouldn't be able to completely get out of their mouth. It's kind of like eating a bite out of a persimmon that is not ripe, and it'll turn your mouth inside out, and you won't forget that for a while. You won't go and pick up a green persimmon again and take a bite out of it for sure. You remember the taste of your sin. When we see the consequences of our sins, that the actions that we do sometimes bring very adverse things that happen, reminds us of the taste of what we have done. And Moses returns to the mountain for another 40 days and nights of fasting and prayer on behalf of Israel so that God would not destroy them. He interceded, offering even to die with them if God was going to destroy them. But he tried to intercede, offering his life. But Christ did intercede, offering his life for us. Moses, even though he was the best of the men of Israel, was not sinless. He could not offer his body as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of the people. Christ is the only one who was without sin and could offer himself to pay for our sins, and he willingly did so. God refused Moses' death and said that he would punish them in his own way. Now, God sent several things upon Israel. I want us to look at the book of Leviticus And we'll start in chapter 26, Leviticus 26. Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 26. You might jot these references down, just the first one and then the last one when we get to it. There's six things. Leviticus 26 and verse 14. Warnings of chastisement. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant. First, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning og that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when no one pursues. And then the second chastisement that God said he would bring, beginning with verse 18. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield her fruits. And there's a third chastisement. If you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And then the fourth chastisement. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you're gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall break your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. Well, that's a part of the curse, to eat and not be satisfied. That's pretty bad. Verse 27, if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you. I will chastise you seven times, and you shall eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. A couple of times when they were in siege by enemy nations, they had no food, they had no water. There were actually people eating their children. I'll destroy your high places, cut down your images, cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you, and I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And then he would scatter them. Verse 32, and I will bring the land into desolation. Your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the heathen and draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. And it continues on from there. That's six things that the Lord said he would do to them because of their sins and their disobedience and their idolatry and all these things that they were guilty of. He withdrew himself from them and would no longer go with them and lead them in the way to the promised land. But he said he would send an angel to do that. But God himself would not come down in the cloud and dwell among them in any way, because they were stubborn and did not obey the Lord. One writer proposes that if God had come among them at that time in their sinful condition, he would have had to destroy them all in his presence because of their sin. They mourned and they took off their ornaments, and God moved Moses away from them. He had Moses take his tent. They moved it way out away from the rest of the camp of the nation of Israel, because God would come down on Moses' tent and fellowship with Moses face to face, but the rest of the nation did not experience that. His tent became the meeting place for God. In Numbers 12 and Deuteronomy 34, various times the cloudy pillar that had led them by day and the pillar of fire by night then would hover over the tent of Moses, and God would meet with him. Spurgeon said, God never lets his people sin successfully. We know we don't get away with sin. Sooner or later, we're going to have to pay the price. Moses seeks God's forgiveness for the nation and asks him to return his presence to them. That was bothering Moses more than many of the other things. He did not want God to leave him. He did not want God to go away from them. And he said, if you are not going to go with us, then leave us here. If you won't go with us, then we'll stay right here. In chapter 33, in verse 12 through 17, Moses asked God to reveal his glory to him. And in verse 18, Exodus 33:12-17, and then verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and passed by him so that he got just a little bit of a glimpse of the glory of God. And God renewed his covenant with Moses and Israel. And chapter 34, verse 10 through 17, he said, behold, I make a covenant before all the people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I do with thee. Observe what I command you this day. And he is told to do the things that God would have him to do. In chapter 34 of Exodus and verse 6 through 8, you ought to highlight this. You ought to make a notation somewhere to look this up in your Bible anytime you think about it. Chapter 34, verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. This teaching has some repeating in the scriptures with Moses and others using part of the references of these things that says about God how merciful he is, how good God is, and the blessings that the Lord has made. God warns of their acceptance of the nations in the land they're going to dwell, and the idols and the compromise because of the women. I think the women of Moab were apparently beautiful women. That was Ruth was a Moabitess. And they were drawn to the beauty of women of other nations, and they sinned. You remember on one time they sinned greatly, committing sexual relation in the doors of the tents, and one of the sons came in with a spear and drove it through both of them, and God stayed the plague that he was bringing upon them for what they were doing in their sin. Now Moses can return to the camp and tell them all God has shown him with the new tablets and the place. He takes them and places them inside the Ark of the Covenant. You'll remember I've said before that in the Ark of the Covenant was kept the commandments, the rod of Aaron that was a cut stick that budded and brought forth almonds, and a pot of the manna. These were placed inside the Ark of the Covenant, and then a gold plate on top of that was the mercy seat with the cherubim where the sacrifices were offered. Now, next thing God did in chapter 25 of Exodus is instituted the Sabbath rest. What is called a Sabbath is not Sunday. I still occasionally go by some small churches and see out on their sign, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, or, you know, worship here this Sabbath. Sunday is not the Sabbath. The Sabbath was for Israel. It was Friday evening at sundown until Saturday evening at sundown. And they were required to observe the Sabbath as a part of their covenant with God. And we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, because that's the day Christ arose from the dead. And so the New Testament Christians began to meet on the first day of the week as a result of Christ's resurrection. So the Sabbath, they began to observe the Sabbath with all of the requirements that were involved in it. They couldn't do any kind of work. They couldn't walk a certain distance on the Sabbath day. There were just many things they couldn't do. Moses now is given the commands to go ahead with the building of the tabernacle, and he gets involved in that. The cloud is taken up when God wants them to journey, and it settles in one place when God intends them to stay and remain. Now, today in the New Testament, we as Christians are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We have several things that Israel did not have. First of all, we have a completed Bible, Amen. The Word of God. Secondly, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as believers to enlighten us in the Scriptures and to move us in many ways, comfort us, strengthen us, and help us. And we have the church, which quite often is local to most people. Most of you live within York County. We sometimes have people from the edge of Charlotte. We sometimes have people from the edge of Chester. I think Bob lives in Chester County. But most of the time, the churches are more local, where the people in that general vicinity can go to their church and worship in their church. And this is a great improvement over the tabernacle and then the temple in one place, and then even the synagogues that were places where they could go. They were called gathering places, which is what the word synagogue means. So today the temple of God and His Spirit reside in us. Israel lost the glory of God. They constantly disobeyed the Lord. They constantly failed with idol worship. They constantly failed with sin. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21. 1 Samuel 4 and verse 21. Eli was a priest of the nation of Israel, the high priest. Samuel was a child that his mother gave him to the temple to be raised for God. And he was raised under Eli, and he was more spiritual than Eli, who was the high priest. And Eli had sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were killed in the battle with the Philistines, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken captive by them. Verse 18 says, it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. That bothers me. I've been here 40 years, and I'm an old man, and I'm heavy. I'm glad I'm not in that situation. But the daughter of one of his sons, the wife, gave birth to a child at that time. It says, about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast born a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband were dead." So this was the case, that the glory of God had removed from Israel. In Ezekiel, in all these different passages, are times where God's glory went up from Israel and was not there with them because of their sin. The glory departed. We must be careful not to quench nor grieve the Holy Spirit who works through us to do the work of the Lord. Next time the glory of God came to earth was in the person of Jesus Christ, when he was born as a babe in a manger. And God chose the virgin womb of a young woman to carry the seed to give birth to the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's thank God. Father, thank you for your people being here tonight. I pray your blessings upon us. Help us to not be stiff-necked and hard-hearted and turn away from you and your word and your commands to us. Help us to obey you and serve you and testify of you and our love for you. Help us to worship you and praise you and give you adoration and thanks. So help these folks tonight and bless them in their travel home. Bless the kids and Master Club and the teen department. And we're dependent on you and ask for your protection and your guidance. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.